What's your battle cry? What's your battle cry? Turn with me to Philippians 3:8, please. Philippians 3:8. Jesus, this is about you. Philippians 3:8. If you're there, say amen. I'll wait for you to catch up. Are you there? Amen. Philippians 3:8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I'll read it once more. What is more, I consider everything a loss. It's a loss. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that it is the manna that is for us today. But I thank you that the revelatory manna that you give us, Lord, that we're not just eating the crumbs, Father God, we're eating the meat of your word. Father, I just thank you for the revelation knowledge to be enlightened, Lord. I thank you for the spirit of illumination, and I thank you, God, for application. Father, I thank you that what you're doing in the house today, God, is you're challenging and you're equipping, Father, to raise up an army that is ready to fight. God, I thank you, and I give you praise. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We welcome you to have your way. Holy Spirit, let us move out of the way of your oil and let your oil flow. Let the Spirit of the living God be the one that receives all honor and glory. Let the Spirit of the living God guide us in all truth, Father. And I thank you, God, that every distracting spirit is bound right now in the name of Jesus. Every foul and unclean spirit in the name of Jesus is bound now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you're about to do. But more importantly, God, I thank you that we are in your very presence. So God, I thank you right now. In Jesus' mighty name, I submit myself as a living sacrifice unto you, unto this service, Father God. Use this vessel, Father God. Speak through me. Let it not be my words, but let it be the words through the Holy Ghost. Father, submit now in the atmosphere your word that we will receive in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Say it with me. What's your battle cry? What's your battle cry? Have you ever lost anything? Have you ever lost anything? Some of y'all still holding on to what you lost? Have you ever lost anything that had value to it, right? That's why you still feel it. That's why you still hold on to it, because you lost it. How about some of the things that you lose that are good for you? Thank you. Let's lose weight. It's good for you. How about losing the wisdom teeth? It's painful going through it, but it's good for you. What about losing drug addiction? Oh, only got a couple people. You can keep your drugs in. It's all right. How about losing the bottle as an infant? That's good for you, right? Yeah, as an infant. Just make it. Okay. You know, when the infant loses the bodies, they can begin to eat food. Now, if you've been raised in a house like we were in a generation, the bottle goes and the rice and the beans come, they just mash them together. There were no baby food. You didn't go get Gerber and you didn't go get all this kind of Similac. You would just go ahead and get the rice and beans, smash it up real good, and you're going to eat that. And then if they really wanted to make you sleep real good at night so you could sleep all the way through, they'd put some of that, what we call the atole. You know what atole is? Atole. It's rice cereal. And it would begin to expand and make the baby feel like they're full all night long so they can sleep all night long. But if you're like a baby like me, that was just only an appetizer. So then you would just want more rice. You would want some more. I thought, like, you want some more thing. You'd be crying in the middle of the night, I want more. But you're off the bottle. It's something different. Have you ever watched a baby as they come off the bottle and you try to feed them something? They're not used to chewing. So all of a sudden they start chewing, all the food's coming back out. Did y'all forget about it? Try to feed a baby after you take them off the bottle. No, I don't mean at 2 years old. I mean now. When they're babies. Come on, baby. Come on. You got to eat the papa. Yeah, papa. We do all kinds of crazy things just to make the baby go, yeah. Then you put the spoon of food in their mouth. And it's coming all out. And what they try to do is suck. They're not chewing. Oh, I'm getting somewhere with this. Why, Pastor, are you talking about baby food and stuff? Because some things that God is going to do to you, he's going to change the way you eat. And then he's going to change in the manner of which you take the food that is coming to you. And you've got to begin to be like that. What he says is to ruminate on the word. Chew on it. Chew on it. You've been so used to being bottle fed. What the Bible says, breastfed. Mm-hmm. I know there's still some kids in here, but it's, you know. But when things begin to shift and change, sometimes it makes it uncomfortable for the one that was used to it a certain way. Right. But the baby loses the bottle. As long as you give that baby something that is good for them, they'll begin acclimating to the new process. New process, new way of doing things, a new presentation and a new way. But what we do as parents, because we're so used to making it easy, giving the bottle, propping, and you know how y'all do, we prop it up with all kinds of blankets and pillows. You prop it up, leave the baby laying there on the back, call us where some of those cavities were there because we give them all kinds of, and they would just sit there in the teeth like that instead of having it go through. So now a change comes and then it's time for them to start eating real food. But what we as parents do, we'll go give them a binky. Y'all know the binky. Give the binky and put it in the baby's mouth. The baby gets to go back to sucking and nothing coming out. You just made that baby mad. Why? Because they've been conditioned that every time they do that particular thing in their mouth, they begin to suck, they know something's supposed to come out. But then you put something that's not going to give them anything of substance, what you're going to do? It's going to make the baby mad. Well, here's what the enemy does to you. You're used to doing things a certain way, but then what he does, it gives you something that you're not going to get any substance out of it, and then you get bitter, you get mad, and you get angry. Then all of a sudden, your spirit begins to get a little vexed. Mm-hmm. Get quiet in here, I know. Hey, what are you talking about a binky for? Watch, and then they get real clever. Nowadays, now they have the clip that you can clip onto the baby, and then you give them the binky, and if it falls out, you don't have to go looking for it. Like, the clip is there for the baby. The clip is there for you. You not only are going to go and do the same thing you always do here, just be quiet, yeah, Bubba, here, boop, here's the binky. And then, before, it would be popped out, and you couldn't find it. And the one that was getting frustrated was you. Because you couldn't find it the time you needed the baby to be quiet. Be still, quit crying! You put a binky in the mouth and then she spit the binky out. And then here you are looking for the binky like it had value to you. And what happens when it gets spit out? Guess who puts it in the mouth? You do. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The binky is not for the baby. The binky was for you. You think the binky is going to be for the baby? Not only that, you get all kinds of binkies. The ones that just, they fit your roof of your mouth. Or the ones that just have all the different color cute things. Here's the thing. The baby can't see what's on the other side. Only you can.
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to, I'm talking about binkies. You put the binky in the baby's mouth. Baby knows not getting nothing out of it.
And watch how the parents react. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Find it, hurry. And the baby goes to just rocking and rolling. Ah! And when it falls, they pick it up.
That's right.
You might as well should have just kept the binky in your own mouth. Because it's going to wind it right back again. So then they get clever. They put the little attachment, they clips it right here. So if it pops out, it's right there. You still got to turn around and make sure you go right back to the baby, put the binky back in the mouth. And guess what? Guess who's being trained? Not the baby. You are. Don't you think the enemy knows that he can give you a pacifier just to pacify you through the season that you're in? And make you go through the motion and think you're getting something good out of it, but nothing's getting inside of you. So you spit it out. Guess what the enemy does? Come here, baby. I'll put it right back in there for you. And if you don't know the difference, you'll keep on sucking like you're going to get something out of it. You'll go through the motion because you're so used to being hand-fed something. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Oh, geez. Give me a word, prophet. Give me a word. Grow up. No, they don't like that one. I love you. I love you a lot. Those that are listening to the podcast, I welcome you to the house of man. We're talking about binkies today. And as we talk about binkies today, take the one out of your mouth and start going to God for the real meat. What's your battle cry? What's your battle cry? I remember going to a high school football game for O'Connor. And it was the last game for the seniors. And you always want to go out on top. As I sat there in the stands looking at my son play and the friends play along with him, it had been a wonderful send-off, especially that they had a winning season. Hear this. Especially that they had a winning season. Are you hearing this? So if you're having a winning season, wouldn't you want to end on a win?
Yes.
But you end your season with a loss. And that's kind of hard. Now the tears began to roll down my face. I can remember very clear. I could see the boys out on the field and I could see them with their helmets off and they're crying. And I wondered what was going through their mind. And I said, Lord, I know it's tough because we always want to go out on top. And we always want the wins. We don't want the losses. But for the seniors for the O'Connor Panthers that played that last game, they lost, and they wouldn't have another opportunity to get revenge. Do you hear me? Because if they would have won, the season would have continued. But that loss made the season end. Some of your losses are for your next battle. And what will be your battle cry? What's your battle cry? Have you ever lost anything of value to you? As I sat there and I looked at my son crying and I could see him at a distance. I'm up in the bleachers. My wife and I are crying. People around us are crying. Friends are crying because we know that this is their last game. We had hopes for them to go further. But they didn't make it past that particular game and their season ended. But a new season, a new chapter in their life began at that very moment. It was beyond what they loved. But what they carried with them was something of value of what they lost. Have you ever lost anything that meant something to you, had value that you carry with you? I want you to put your attention, please, to this next verse here. Go to Luke 15:8, please. Luke 15:8 through 10 out of the NIV. And I want to share with you something that I believe that the Lord is speaking very, very plainly and clearly to the body of Christ.
This is Luke 15, verse 8 through 10 out of the NIV, and it reads in this wise. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to take note here that it talks about a woman that had 10 silver coins, what we would call the drachma. The drachma is a value system, and it's a coin, like much less the coins that we have in our pocket. I want you, if you would, think the drachma is like a penny. Okay? Now, the drachma that was given to her is, she had 10 of them. She's poor. And there's value to what she has. Even in the little, she values the little that she has. So much so, watch this. It says right there in that very parable that Jesus is speaking that she lights a lamp to look for the lost. Don't just read the story, just read over the parable. It's just another parable, a lost coin in value. No. Look at the fact that she had to put the candle on to search in her own home. Meaning there was no windows in her home. It was dark in her home. And the light had to be turned on with the candle. That she searched for it, and then it says that she swept the ground looking for it, right? Now, wouldn't you just think that if you would just turn on the candle, you'd be able to see where it maybe had fallen? You know how we do when something falls, we kind of listen to where it fell. So if we know at least the sound, we can go towards the sound. But she swept it in the process of sweeping it so she could hear it if it got swept over the stones. Now, something happened to me just the other night. 4th of July. I come home from celebrating at my cousin's house. And we come home. They're still popping firecrackers outside. And I think everything's normal. So I let my bear, my dog Bear. If y'all don't know my doggies, they're black little Dutch hounds. They're Teddy and Bear. Bear's the bigger one. He's the more obedient one. He's the more loving one. He's the one you say, go to your room, and he's there. He's the one that knows that if I'm carrying my gym bag and mama's coming, he knows I'm going to my room because they're leaving. They're going to the gym. I'm going to bed, so he goes to his room. We don't have to say nothing. He already knows. Teddy, on the other hand, Teddy is the one that has that spirit that just don't want to listen to no one. Teddy is the littler one, but he's the alpha. So as most alphas, they think they can do what they want to do. Just talking about Teddy and Bear, my dogs, and I get home. Here comes Bear. Let Bear out. Where's Teddy? Teddy's outside. Teddy doesn't listen to going to the room, so Teddy goes outside. So we go and open up the back door, and Teddy's not there. Come on, Teddy! Come on, Teddy! Teddy? Teddy? Now this time, Bear's looking at me. I'm looking at Bear. Mama come around the corner. Where's Teddy? Where's Teddy? Now me and Bear are looking at Mama. What you don't know is I have been saying, I'm going to get rid of these dogs. I'm tired of these dogs. They are peeing all over my man cave, and they're just peeing everywhere. I'm getting sick and tired of these dogs. I tell Joseph, that very day, Joseph, Teddy's ready to go home with you. Didn't I tell you the very day, Joseph, take Teddy. He's ready to go. So when I go out and Teddy ain't there, I ain't telling Mama. Because I'm about to get in trouble too. Me and Bear had the tub between our legs.
When the value of something was gone, I realized my loss. There was no word spoken before we went to bed. But the first thing I did, we went looking that night all over the place. Walked around the street. Josh ran this way. I ran that way. We got in the cars, went this way. We went that way. Yeah. Calling. Teddy! I'm going to get in trouble. Teddy, come home. I go home. Did you find him?
I didn't find him.
He'll be back. Go upstairs, take my son, bring my daddy. Praying in tongues and crying and everything. But I ain't gonna let no one see I'm crying because I'm the man, I'm Alpha. Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get in my car, put the top down, start riding everywhere. Teddy! You know, some of y'all folks know about Abbott and Costello, you know, when I was crying out for Teddy John. Teddy! Teddy! Mom, I drove all the way to the high school. I drove to the elementary school. I drove every single block. Then I come back. I said, someone's got my dog. Because my dog don't go far. And if he does, he's right back. Someone's got my dog. So here we go. My honey gets this idea. Let's put Bear on the leash and Bear will take us to Teddy. That ain't gonna work. So we make signs to post up on the mailboxes and we're gonna walk around. We're gonna find Teddy. And here comes Ryan and Joseph in the truck. We're gonna help you. We're gonna help you. He ain't got no gas. He praying the whole way, too. He got no gas in his truck. Like, what did I say I was going to do? They couldn't find Teddy. We walk around the corner. I know I'm going to get to my store. Hold on. You going to wait a little bit? There's donuts back there. Let me feed you. Well, watch this. We come around the corner, and there's another dog lover that walks in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning with his dog, and they walk the whole neighborhood. He says, I ain't seen no dog. And we walk all the way down the house, and some of y'all don't know where I live, but a good mile and a half. Outside of where we're at. We ain't seen no dog. We ain't seen no dogs running around. I said, I know. My dog is in someone's backyard. I know that. Bear is, his territory has been enlarged. So we put him on a leash to go. Here's the thing. When we left the house, he wanted to go left. We wanted to go right. So we went right instead, and we went down this way, went around. And this was the hilarious thing. Right in the middle of the street, as we're coming back, a light goes off in Joshua's head. Ding! There's a sign over there that says, found dog. And I looked at it, I said, that's not our phone number. That's what Josh said. I said, well, go check. So there goes Bear and Josh running down the street to this pole. And it's not carrying up the rear. Teddy! Teddy! And I can see down the block, Josh is walking up to the pole like this. And he's gone again. Something's up. So Inez and I get to that pole. As we're getting closer and closer to the pole, it says, found dog. And we can see, well, it's a black dog. And watch it be. Can't be Teddy. It's Teddy! Call it! We couldn't get the phone out fast enough. I'm running around the corner. Where's Josh? And Josh's over there. Bear's wagging his tail. Tongue's like this. They open up the gate. Here comes this little dog. He takes off running again. This time Bear's like, forget you. There goes Josh and Bear running after him. I said, he's going to go home. He's going to go home. I said, Josh, just open up the gate. Sure enough, Josh opens the gate. Teddy's. And I knew at that very moment, when something of value was lost, I realized the value that I had. in what was lost.
And I don't want to get rid of my teddy no more. I said, no. I saw Bear so sad. I saw Bear looking for his brother. And I realized Bear knew what he lost as well.
Have you ever lost anything of value? What's your battle cry? See, when you're going through a battle and you lose, what becomes your battle cry? Reminds me of some history about the Alamo. The Alamo was a mission. It was not a fort. It was not anything for a war or a battle. But the mission was turned into a place of the greatest loss ever known to mankind. I said greatest loss because they didn't win. Because it wasn't a fort, it was a mission. They had to make do with what they had. And there was more women and children than there were men. Now, there's all kinds of myths and there's all kinds of movies that came out about the Alamo. But I find it very interesting that this loss gave them the victory over the war. That after they lose this battle that took 13 days, Santa Anna and his troops came and they were just attacking and attacking. There was times that they had to send people out of the Alamo to go and get food because they didn't have enough food in there. Or to go and get the ammunition that was being shot at them.
Watch this.
To turn it around and use it against Santa Anna's army. Are you hearing this? That the enemy Santa Anna was coming against them, marching against them. They would shoot the cannonballs. And that after a while, they had to guard the Alamo with the enemy's cannonballs. They turned it around and used it against them. What is your battle cry in the time or season of loss? They lose this very battle. And it says there's many historians that talk about how, who was it, David Crockett? Was it David Crockett? He was had the knife that would fight with his knife. Okay, and Crockett and Bowie and all of them. Historians say that there was bodies around them when they died of the enemy. In other words, before I go out, I'm taking some of y'all with me. Okay, right? One was dying in bed, and here's what the historians say, that they stood him up. In other words, the bed was against the wall, and they stood him up. Historians write that he fought and there was people of the enemy laying around him and a bayonet stuck in him. But he took some out before they got to him. That's a true fight. What is your battle cry? In the season of your loss and in their loss, the next battle that came up was the Battle of San Jacinto. There was more on the Mexican army than there was in the Texas army. It was going to be a great battle. It only lasted 14 minutes. Because what happened was the battle cry and the loss previous was the loss of the Alamo. And the battle cry was, remember the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. Remember what? Remember your loss. Remember what you did to us and remember us. Because what is your battle cry? What is your battle cry? And it reminds me of another story. It reminds me of a story of a baby that was born in a manger, that was not born in a hospital, was not born in a well-to-do palace, was not born anywhere, but in a place of obscurity. Not of notoriety, but a baby was born. And this baby was beginning to grow in the stature and in understanding that this is the Messiah. And goes through his life. And then begins to do miracles after miracles after miracles. And people realize that's the Messiah. And then he goes through and we realize that that's the Messiah. That's Jesus, Son of God. And then he goes to the cross. We had Jesus here on earth. And this earth lost Jesus to a cross. What is your battle cry? In the season of loss, the battle cry should be, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Because if you can remember Jesus, if he did it for you once, he'll do it for you again. If you can remember Jesus, if he came through and put himself as a sacrifice on that cross for you, he did it for you. What is your battle cry? Huh? Is your battle cry remember Jesus, or is your battle cry remember the Alamo? In other words, your past victories or your past hurts or your past losses. You've got to remember Jesus. Jesus. Some of the things that you lose are good for you to make you understand that some things have to be lost to show you how you come out of that loss, and how you process the loss is going to prepare you for your next victory. Remember Jesus. Jesus leaves this world, but gave his spirit unto us. The scripture says that when after the woman found her money, she called her neighbors and friends, come rejoice with me. And at that very end of that parable, he says, just like the angels rejoice when a sinner repents. Oh, what's your battle cry? It should be, remember Jesus. Your battle cry should be, remember Jesus. Look to your neighbor and say, remember Jesus. Oh, remember Jesus. Why remember Jesus? Because when you put to remembrance Jesus, he's the one that has made a great sacrifice for you. When you remember Jesus, you'll recognize that he came and he left the place of authority and he came down to be a servant. He left the place of a heavenly glory to come and be for you. But you got to remember Jesus. And when your battle cry is Jesus, you'll understand that the sacrifice that he made was for you. So that when you're in need and you're in crying, dire times, and you can't sleep at night, you got pressures all over you, you got things coming against you, remember the battle cry. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. The Bible says that when you cry out his name, there's power in his name. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. Now remember this also, that Jesus was out walking about and people would come and say, hey, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And we also healed the sick in your name. And he looks upon them and says, depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Know him, not about him. Know him. Be intimate with him. Be intimate. Know him. So that when your battle cry is, remember Jesus, you remember Jesus. You remember what he's done for you. You remember that he's reaching out for you. You remember that he's reaching out for those that have broken hearts. He's reaching out for those that have gone through, those that have lost, and those that are ready to gain. Remember Jesus. What is your battle cry? What is your battle cry? Is your loss the thing that you focus on the most? What you've lost? Or is it what you're about to gain? You're never going to know what God wants to get to you unless you let go. Unless you let go. Because God wants to get something to you, but you're holding on to your losses. You're holding on to what's been taken away. You're holding on to the past hurts. Or the setbacks, the letdowns. You're holding on to things that are not going to help you in your battle. Could easily title this, your loss to gain victory. That's how the battle was won in San Jacinto. Because of the loss. There was value in the lives that were lost. But Jesus talks about how he came. And he talks about a shepherd that had 100 sheep. But the one that got away, he talks about the celebration when he goes out for that one. Remember your battle cry. It's Jesus. Remember Jesus. He wants to come in and save you right now from that very thing that you've been going through. He wants to come through and save you from your loss. He wants to bring victory to you. He wants to bring victory to you. But you got to let go of what you've been holding on to. You've got to let it go. Sometimes we hold on to things that are emotional, and we think that those emotions are going to help us make a better decision, but that emotions will always make you make an emotional decision, and it's not good. Amen. But when you let God begin to minister to you in your losses or your pain and your heartaches, he'll begin to show you what you need to learn during that season that you've been in it. Amen.
so that this way you can make better godly decisions. I'm not talking about how you live your life. I'm talking about how you begin to steward the life that he's given you. It's never been about how you're living your life. It's how you live for him. As you live for him and get intimate in the relationship with him, the things that had you bound before will begin to fall away because you put your focus on him. What is your battle cry? Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. How many of you remember Jesus? How many of you remember when he got you out of that last circumstance? How many of you remember when he spoke that last word to you and it came to pass? How many of you remember that season when a word was given to you, it came to pass so quick, so quick, so quick. And all of a sudden you see destiny begin to play out before you. Huh? Because it was just time. God is in business to get you blessed. Blessed. And he is looking at your destiny and he's looking at the course that you're on towards your destiny. And if you're getting off course, he'll send a word to correct it. And when the word comes to correct you, don't get angry. Don't get mad. Celebrate. 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 Why? Because you're remembering Jesus. Remembering Jesus. When you remember Jesus, he'll give you victory. Victory. Are you ready to celebrate? Are you ready to celebrate?
Yes.
Are you ready to celebrate even your losses?
Yes.
Are you ready to celebrate even the doggy came back? Your little teddy came back. I'm ready to celebrate. I'm ready to celebrate that everything that I have lost in my past will be redeemed in my future. I'm ready to redeem the things that God said that you shall have again. But I'm going to celebrate my losses for my victories. I'm going to celebrate my losses, things that I didn't have, because of the things I'm about to get.
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't want to hear this, huh? How can you celebrate when you've lost some things? You don't understand. I lost a spouse. I lost a brother. I lost a sister. Your losses are setting you up for victory later. It's how you process your loss is how it's going to determine how you're going to come out victorious. Are you ready to celebrate? Celebrate your victories now, even through the times of loss. Celebrate your victories now for your abundance, even while you're in the season of lack. Celebrate right now for your air conditioner being fixed, even when it's broke right now. Celebrate when you don't have any type of gas in your vehicle, but you can celebrate right now because you'll have money for the gas later. Celebrate your victory over diabetes, even though you're taking the shots right now of insulin. Celebrate right now for the victory of heart attacks. Because it's going to come to an end, but you're in it right now. Maybe you've gone through a season of disappointment, disappointment, and disappointment. Celebrate your disappointments because there's an appointment for you for victory.
Amen.
He is the God that can do it all, but you've got to celebrate right now. Don't celebrate when you're in your dance. Celebrate in the preparation. And when you celebrate in the preparation, when you get to the dance, you're ready to get your dance on. Come on! You celebrate! Now! You celebrate now! You don't wait for your breakthrough. You celebrate your breakthrough now! We're in a season where the breaker angel's been released. He's going to break a mindset. He's going to break up hardships. But you celebrate now. Celebrate now. Don't celebrate later. You celebrate now. You let the devil know.
Celebrate. A celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate your party with you. Come on now.
Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
Celebrate.
celebrate and have a good time. It's time to come together. It's up to you. What's your pleasure?
Everyone around the world.
Come on!
It's a celebration. It's a celebration.
Celebrate good times, come on.
Hey! Let's celebrate.
There's a party going on right here.
A dedication to laugh throughout the years.
So bring your good times and your laughter too.
We gon' celebrate and party with you. Come on now. Let's all celebrate and have a good time. Yeah, yeah.
Celebration.
We gon' celebrate and have a good time.
It's time to come together. It's up to you. What's your pleasure?
Everyone around the world.
Come on, Joy. I see that, Joy. I see you, enjoy. Celebrate, girl. Celebrate. Celebrate.
It's a celebration.
Celebrate good times.
Come on.
Let's celebrate.
Let's celebrate.
Come on now.
Come on.
Celebrate good times.
Come on.
Let's celebrate.
We're gonna have a good time tonight.
Let's celebrate,
it's alright.
We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate,
it's alright.
Baby,
we're gonna have a good time tonight.
Let's celebrate.
Come on, I want this in your spirit. Right. Come on, dance, yeah, go ahead, dance.
We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate.
Come on,
it's alright.
It's alright now. There you go. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, Antroy. Break it down, Antroy. Are you ready for your celebration? Are you ready for your celebration? You have got to get it into your spirit. It's celebration time. You don't celebrate when the house shows up. You celebrate now so that the house can show up. You don't celebrate when the car shows up. You celebrate now.
You can't touch this.
And you tell the devil, you can't touch this.
Can't touch this.
You tell the devil,
my music is so hard. Makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I doing? What am I doing? Like this is good. When you know you're down. I see the whole way from the Oak Town. And I'm known as such. And this is good. You can't touch this. I told you, homeboy.
Tell the devil, you can't touch this.
Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man. You can't touch this. Yo, let me bust up on
you. You can't touch this.
And bands, you got it like that. Now you know you want to dance. So move out of your seat and get a fire going and catch this beat while it's rolling. Hold on, pull a little bit, let the noise go on like that. Like
you can't touch this.
Let them know that you're too much. And this is a good one. They can't touch. Yo, I told you.
Yeah.
You can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song. A rhythm. Making them fret. That's what I'm giving them now. They know. You're talking about the hammer. You're talking about a show that's hot and tight. Singles are slipping so fast. I'm a white boy tape. To learn. What's going to take in the 90s to burn the charts. Legit. Either work hard or you might as well quit. That's a word, because
that's a word right there.
You can't touch this.
All right.
Break it down.
See, y'all got to break it down to the devil real quick. He can't touch your blessing.
He can't touch
what God has ordained for you. He can't curse what God has blessed. He cannot take away what God has given. He cannot touch this. You have got to know you've got the power to tell the devil to go. You've got the power to tell the devil he can't come into this place. He can't touch your bank account. You have the power to speak things into existence. Speak things into existence because you've got what?
The power.
You've got what?
The power.
Who has the power?
Jesus.
You've got what?
The power.
I want you to know that you've got the power. Every devil that is religious just left the building. You've got the power to make change. You've got Holy Ghost power. You've got the Word power. You've got the only thing that makes change in your life is Word, which is power. And what happens when the enemy thinks he's got you down? He's got you down that you can't. But then all of a sudden, something inside of you says, get up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Get up. You may have lost the round, but you didn't lose the fight. The fight ain't over yet. Oh, God is in your corner. He's telling you to get up. He says, square those shoulders and just lift up your head. And say, I have got victory. I may be down, but don't count me out. Don't count me out. You don't count me out. Why? Because you're a fighter. You're a fighter. Don't let that devil lie to you and say that you're going to take this laying down. You're a fighter. You're a fighter. He may have knocked you down one round, but you're getting up. You're getting up. You're getting up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Don't stay down. Get up. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm telling you, every religious demon right now left the building. Like, oh, I try to be religious in here. But they start praying all kind of secular music.
Put it down. Yeah. I'm back. I'm back.
Hey!
Stomp for that thing and dance to
come on now.
Get up. Stomp for that thing and dance to
you feel better. Come on.
Get up off of that thing and dance to you feel better. Get up off of that thing.
What?
Try to leave that pressure. Get up off of that thing and shake to you feel better. Get up off of that thing and shake to you feel better. Get up off of that thing and shake to you feel better. Get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure. Get up off. Good God. So good.
The devil don't know which way to come at you right now. He don't know which way to come at you. He tried to come at you, try to be holy and all religious and sanctified. But the Bible says, I've given you life so that you have life more abundantly. More abundantly. Get your dance on in here. Get your dance on in here. You're going to stomp on the devil and let him know you won.
You're going to stomp on the devil and know you're winning. You're going to stomp on the devil's head. You're going to take back what's yours. What is your victory cry? Jesus. Remember Jesus. Are you going to stomp on the devil? Are you going to stomp on the devil? Are you ready to stomp on the devil? Then you've got to stomp on the devil. Sometimes you just got to lift up your right foot and put it on the devil's neck and stomp on that devil. Oh, come on now. Y'all don't want to play with me. It's like when you see that big old cockroach. You lift up that big old foot. You step on that cockroach and then you just do it like that. I'm just trying to help you. Stomp on the devil. Come on. Put your right foot up and stomp. And you just squeeze the life out. That's it. Get on out of here. You don't belong in my space. You don't belong in my space. Get on out of here. We're going to stomp on the devil. The devil of religiosity just looked at us and said, they're not saved. They're with us. So let's leave them alone. Watch this. Y'all, see, y'all think I went left on you. No. See, the only reason why the devil comes into your life is to make you turn away from God. And most of y'all think that if you go back to secular music, you go back to things of this world, that you're not going to be in God's perfect will. Jesus was there when you were shooting up, snorting up, getting turned up. Jesus was there. But what we do is we drive the devil out.
Yes. Thank you, God.
We stomp on the devil. We stomp on the devil. Come on. Come on. Stomp on the devil. Stomp on the devil. Stomp on the devil. There you go, brother. You got it. Stomp on the devil.
Well, we need a music.
Go. Stomp on the devil. You should be on Spotify. Stomp on the devil. Where my DJ at? I need a DJ in here. Someone got to flow with me, man. They got to flow with me. Stomp on the devil.
Weapons by weapons.
I think that was a Bruce Lee movie. All right now, Jesus, help us now. All right, look. Do we got it? We're not. We got it. Okay, but y'all gotta get with me now. It takes two DJs back there. Come on. Oh, you an old school stomp, man. That stomp. Yeah, you know. What's up with these fools back there? Lee, Jesus, Jesus. All right, look. All right, forget it. Y'all trying to get me all back in the day, you know. About to bring out my wingtip type of collar. Polyester jacket, polyester shoe. With my bell bottoms on, put on my platform. Get my platform going on. Stop chewing that gum. Hey. I'm getting ready to stomp on the devil. Hey. You start pulling on your ear just a little bit because it's going to get a little bit of anointing on you. Hey, I'm going to stomp on the devil today. I'm going to stomp on the devil today. And then you start kind of going up on the volume a little because, you know, your ear has a tendency to be the volume control. I'm going to stomp on the devil. I'm going to stomp on the devil. I'm going to stomp on the devil. Hey, come on. Don't let me be the only one singing now. Come on. I'm going to stomp on the devil. I'm going to stomp on the devil. Come on. Now, come on.
Elvis has left the building.
All right, listen up. want to encourage you guys. You may have lost something. You may have gone through a battle and felt like you lost. Your battle cry should always be, remember Jesus. He'll do it for you. He will. There's some things he's going to make you do. There's some things he's going to require of you. Be obedient and listen, because he wants to get to you what's rightfully yours. There's some changes that need to be made. Make those changes and let him teach you how to make those changes. Let it be applicable to your life so that you can make change in your life. Amen. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. He's given you victory. And every single time I've seen this, that we begin to preach a word, the enemy comes in to contradict it every single time. There was such a heaviness on you guys. It was God Almighty, heavy, heavy. But when you can break that religious mindset off and be free, you have freedom. You have freedom in God, and you're able to get in. I said, God, how are we going to do this? He goes, just, you know where they're from. They're from the world. They didn't come from heaven. They were from the world. Reach them. Touch them. So they can break loose. And once they break loose, they're going to see some things happen. The biggest enemy that ever steps into a church is a spirit of religiosity. Because you got to do things religiously a certain way. It's got to look religious. It's got to act or smell religious. Sometimes you just got to get right down and dirty. Get your dance on. Get your praise on. And God is going to bring victory on your behalf. Amen. He may make you fight a few battles. He may lose a couple of battles. But you're going to win the war. Amen? Amen. All right, if you would. I know we were dancing. And standing your feet as we pray in closing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for each and every individual, Father God, that remembers the cry, remember Jesus. And in the hard times that are to come, the hard times that have passed, and the hard times that may be in right now, they remember the battle cry, remember Jesus, remember Jesus. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. And I thank you that we can trust on you and lean on your word, but not lean on our own understanding, but to trust you and acknowledge you in all our ways. So, Father, I just thank you right now for what you're doing, what you've already done, and what you are about to do for us. We thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made. And Father, we continue to move right now under the Holy Spirit, that you have your way in everything that we do, that we surrender unto you, and let your Spirit, oh God, be the guiding truth that leads us into all truth. Help us in everything that we do, God. We surrender ourselves unto you, and we sacrifice this body unto you. We thank you in advance, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
John, can you come up to the front? I want you guys to extend your hands to John. He is leaving, I think it's Tuesday. You leaving Tuesday? Tuesday. To New York? All right. Why don't you give a little dissertation of what you're going to be doing. I want to pray before he's released to go. We'll cover him and pray. Amen.
Amen. I think it's just a fulfillment of a prophecy, really. The man of God prophesied it. Amen. Our pastor, amen. And spoke prophetically that God would begin to send me out across the state and across the nation. And then he said around the world, he's saying, yelling happy enough, boy. And listen, all I can tell you is that man looked at me and said, it's going to happen this year. And I thought, I didn't know if he had hit his head on the way to church or what's wrong with this cat, man. But, all I can tell y'all is that I'm going to go to Brooklyn next week, do a week worth of meetings. Amen. Amen. And they're going to film the meetings. The man of God said the networks are going to come to you. Y'all remember when I was here? He said the networks were going to come to you. Did he say it? He said that. And Universal Studios has an arm, something like Netflix. It's called movie something. Anyway, I was just freaked out and forgot their name now. But it's Universal Studios, and they're filming me. Filming the revival. And they're going to put it in 180 countries with an estimated 1 billion viewers. Amen. Y'all ain't heard nothing. I say it to you. The man of God said it ain't going to cost you nothing. Come on, somebody. I wish I praised God. That's why he said he put the celebrate on. I was getting my groove on, y'all. Because my God is good, y'all. I said he's good, y'all. I said, Lord, what am I going to wear? You know, and you know, all this kind of stuff. I got things boxed up and stuff is scattered at different families' house. And I got a call, man. A woman of God said, listen, man, the Lord wants me to bless you and take you out because you're getting ready to get on the road. Come on, somebody. I said, I don't want to go to Walmart, though. Make it plain now. She said, come on, we go to your favorite store. Come on, somebody. I tried to get one shirt, two shirts. She said, keep on shopping. I pulled so many shirts, Mama Lou, and so many pants. Come on, somebody. I got to preach. I got to change things up a little bit. I wish I could get somebody to help me up in here. But the Lord is, I don't know what to say. I'm just, my mind's going like, what? You know. And then they said that we'll give you 50% of the subscribers. Amen. And they said, you're going to be the only religious program in our situation that we're setting up here. You'll be the number one and only one at this point in time. Amen. So I got a whole market all to myself. I wish I could get somebody to give God praise. And I kept thinking about Pastor Marty, talking about Emma and all this stuff I ain't never heard before, prophesying over me. He said, I see you going to Atlanta, Georgia. It started dropping Creflo Dollar down on my spirit. And a woman of God just called us a week ago and said, will a bishop come to Atlanta, Georgia and preach for a week in Atlanta as well? So they're setting that up. Atlanta, Georgia, come on, y'all. Orlando, Florida, come on, y'all. I wish somebody go. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I can't get nobody to work with me. Hold on, I'm not done yet. I'm almost done. I'm going to shut up. And then they said, will you go to Jamaica? Will you go to Trinidad? Will you go to Johannesburg, South Africa? We'll pay for it. We'll take. And that's what the man of God said. He said, you don't have to pay for it. He said, you'll pay for one trip. And did he say it, y'all? He said, you're going to pay for one trip, and the rest of it is going to be paid for you. I wish I could get somebody to give God praise with me and magnify him, y'all. So I just thank the Lord in this morning. I'm tired. I'm so tired. When you started talking about those excuses, I said, I'm so tired. And they called me this morning. They put me on the radio. 6 o'clock in the morning. Brother, man, I got you up. I said, I'm up now. Just mad. Just all in the flesh. They said, well, we're going to call you back in about 30 minutes. I want you to go live. We're going to broadcast all over the Virgin Islands and Shikaribushata into the Caribbeans and to Jamaica and all over the barrios, the 17 million people that are nestled in those barrios in New York City. I wish somebody would help me this morning. I said, I'm going to call live. They said, you're going to call live. I called and I thought they was going to prep me a little bit, Mama Lou, and get me ready. The man of God said, is this Dr. Woods? I said, yeah, this is him. He said, sir, you are live on there. Mama walked around and told me, how many tacos you want? I said, I can't talk about tacos. I can't talk about no tacos right now, babe. And I just, it was the empty air. I told the man of God, I said, I can hear myself echoing through the studio. Oh, shit. Through the studio, y'all, is the man of God. He gave me complete freedom, and they all backed away. I could hear them pushing their mics back, and I just went off, y'all, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So I said all that to say that it's coming to pass. I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to shut up. You said something that just touched my heart today. I've been struggling with this lost thing, man. I've been struggling with this lost thing like you would not believe. I talked to the man of God today. I said, man, I said, pray for me, man. I done lost all my little wind, man. Because I was focusing on loss. And the future is right in front of me. This prophetic, profound thing is right there. But I'm pinching myself saying, is this real? Is this really happening? And then the devil playing with my mind. You're going to mess this up. And you're going to give up. I said, oh, not today. It ain't going to happen in my life. I ain't quitting nothing. I ain't losing nothing. I'm going to leave a legacy for my children's children. I wish somebody would testify with me that God is true and the devil is alive. The Lord kept telling me, he said, let it all go. Let it all go. He said, count it all joy. Everything that's been a loss to you, let it all go. He said, because if you don't let it go, you won't have room enough to receive what I'm about to put into your hands right now. I need you to start thinking about where I'm taking you. I need you to think about where I'm going to send you. Set the Spirit of God. And begin to talk to me. It's too much for my mind, man. It's too much for my head. And it happened so quickly. But God said, you did something that I wanted you to do and you obeyed me. I said, what is that, Lord? When the man of God talked about worship, the first thing came out your mouth. You were being prophetic beyond belief. The one thing I want from you, God said, if you'll worship me, if you'll praise me, I'll change your circumstance. I'll change everything around for you. If you'll just get up over that praise and give me what is due my name. God told me, he said, I want you to go to House of Manna. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. In 16 years, relationship right here. Up, down, in, out, backwards, forward, you name it. Good day, bad day, all that. But I'm one of them kind of people, if I've had too many bad days, I get a little shamed about it. Come on, somebody. I can't be the only one. I said, I ain't going back over there. Oh, I ain't going back over there, Lord. No, 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 no. He said, I need you to obey. I need you to obey and listen to me and do this. Go over there. I said, what you want me to do over there, God? What you want me to do? He said, I just want you to go over there to worship. Did I tell you that, man of God? He said, I just want you to go and worship because the atmosphere is conducive for worship, for worship, and you can praise me there. See, everywhere else I go, I can't get nobody to work with me. But everywhere else I go, they want to play with me and run around my head and do all of those silly stuff. But here I can praise him. Here I can worship him. 3 months, all he asked me to do, worship me for 3 months, and I'll change the next 30 years of your life. Come on, somebody. Come on, y'all. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise up in here. Come on, magnify him with me right now. Come on and exalt him. Because he's all right, y'all. I said he's all right. By the end of the year, we'll have already been in Latin America. We got 5 invitations to Africa to include what's happening with the man of God. Amen. And so however he's going to do this thing, he's already doing it. And they said to me, you ain't seen nothing yet. We don't even want to tell you all the things that are happening that people have been talking about. And it's as if God is taking, oh, I just want to say this. It's like as if the man of God, here's what he said. He's going to take your name and put it in their heads. Amen. I said, the man of God told me, he said, he's going to take your name and put it in their heads. Y'all hear what I said? I got a call from Nightline. Y'all know what Nightline is? Their folks said, we want to hear your testimony. I told him, give me a second, I got to work it out. So I'll be doing it eventually in a little bit. I just had to get ready because they hit me a little bit too hard, y'all. Amen. But y'all pray for me, please. Pray for me. I'm just like my brother. I sweat like a stuck pig. And I be losing weight too. You know, pray for me and because you're sending me. If I can't have you send me, then ain't no reason for me to go. If my church won't pray for me, my brother and my pastor won't pray for me, y'all don't pray for me, I won't have no protection. I wish I'd get somebody to work with me. It's 2 million people here, but I'm going to where it's 17 million. There's a whole lot of sin where I'm going, a lot of craziness where I'm going, like a lot of witchcraft. All the people I talked to this morning were from the Virgin Islands and Trinidad and Jamaica. Come on, somebody. They want to hear this American word, but they got some spirits over there, y'all. And I don't know nothing about all that, but I'm going over in the power of the Lord. And I'm not going to lose nothing. Amen. And gain everything for Christ. So I need you to pray for me. Amen. Would you pray for me?
Come on. All the things that he is talking about, we sat down at Iron Sharpens Iron and God began to minister to him and speak to him very prophetically concerning what was going to take place. This is the fulfillment. That quick. That quick. Let me remind you, Iron Sharpens Iron was just last month. Y'all are missing that. It's already happening. I want you to hear this. Let me just recap for you. The son of the house came in and ministered a word and said that God was going to do things in acceleration. Acceleration.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, you are, God. Yes, you are. Watch. I'll just tell it like it is. My brother knows that our flavor is just a little bit different. So I ain't going to that house of man today. No, I ain't going to go. And then God said, just go.
Obedience.
What was done here? What did he do here? Nothing. What did God do here? Everything.
Amen.
Everything. When God tells you to do something, do that very thing. And you think it's nothing, but it's everything for your destiny. And prophetic word after prophetic word came to him quickly, 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 quickly. And this is the manifestation of it. The Bible says you're to be sent to preach.
Not just go and preach. To be sent to preach. The very first day he came back, God spoke to me immediately right there. And I was supposed to be in Africa. And God spoke to him. We didn't understand what was going on. We didn't know what was going on. So what my brother coming over here for? What's going on? We can go kick it. We like all green chili and all kinds of chili. We can kick it. Why are you sending him here? What's the purpose? What's the purpose, God? What is it? He speak to the man of God and encourage his spirit. Okay. Amen. Do that and move on. We try to figure out things. Okay, we'll do all kinds of revivals and we'll do this. We'll put this together. We'll put that. I said, be still. Amen. That's it. And then God all of a sudden starts speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. God spoke to him and said that there'll be a woman that you're going to talk to. She's going to be in Atlanta. She's going to be the instrument to take you everywhere. But for a minute, you're going to be on the road. But that's only for a minute. Because then God's going to get you into the airplanes and he's going to send you overseas. He's going to send you throughout the country. It's only for a minute. But this woman's going to carry you. She's going to pay for you. It'll be just like the women that followed Jesus and took care of the ministry for him. Did not God speak that to you? A fulfillment of the word of God comes in its season. But don't miss it. It requires your obedience.
Oh, God.
Even when it don't make no sense. This is my brother here. I said, Lord, I blessed the man of God. So I got on the phone. I told him, my job, that I know what my job is for him, is to pray you through. And when you go, I need to know so that I could keep you covered. That's all. That's all that I know to do. And he says, if you keep me covered, I can go farther. Now, when you're under a covering, when you're under a covering, man, you got to put your tilly over your head. The Bible says that when you, in times of prayer, you pray under the covering. Because under the covering is power. And under the covering is the power of the Holy Ghost. Then it extends out of the covering. You see the fringes there? Out of the covering comes the fringes. It means the outer garments. Come on now. The outer garments. It's what you do under cover that goes forth now because you've been under the covering that the outer fringements can touch others and heal others. Hey! Let's have second church. Look. Because you said yes to a covering. And y'all don't know. We've sat down. We've been butting heads trying to figure out, why are we together? Have we not? We sat in the office. What are we going to do? I don't know. What you going to do? I don't know. I don't know what we're here for. We're going to do. We're going to pray. Okay, we're going to pray. We don't know what's going to happen. We're just going to pray. We're going to pray. You think we just had like 6 cups of coffee trying to figure things out. We scratched on our head and trying to figure out what we're going to do. And God said, pray. Amen. The only thing God told him to do is come here. That's it. When you come under a covering, people's lives will be changed. When you come under a covering, the power flows through you. Because you're under a covering. And when you're under a covering, that you spend time alone with God. When nobody knows what you've been going through. Come on, man, God, put it on his head, put it on his head. We're really going to send you because you've been alone in the covering. You've been alone. You've been in that closet trying to pray your way through. Trying to pray and figure out how. Because you came under a covering. There's an extension of the Holy Ghost through you where grace is extended. When the grace is extended, many are healed. Mercy is extended. Because mercy was afforded to you. But under this covering, the covering that God sent you to, was not to manipulate you, not to harness you, or not even to prostitute your gift, but to value the gift of God in you.
to send the gift of God through you, with you, set forth. You're in that season that every step that you take has been ordered with provision. You couldn't have manufactured, you couldn't have harnessed anything, you couldn't even make it happen. But He did, because you obeyed. And through this obedience, man of God, you go under the humility of the Holy Ghost, under the hand of God, with the power of God and the power that raised Jesus from the grave. The signs and wonders like never before. You will see Emma in three meetings this week. In three meetings, you will see Emma. And as you release, those that were in the barrios are going to come out. Jobs are going to be given to them where their past has been wiped away from the computer system, where they've had convictions and they've had priors. Their jacket is going to be removed. And they're going to know that something took place because a prophet came in. And when a prophet comes in, he begins to speak a word in its season, and it begins to manifest. People are about to get jobs when there was no way they could get a job. The probation officers are going to say, you no longer have to report, but go do the job you need to do. And they're going to be coming out of the barrios. They're going to be coming out. I see people coming and giving you their needles. They're going to be giving the guns right there. Oh, carabosi, there's going to be a deliverance that's about to take place like never before. And the only thing you're going to do is lift up your eyes unto the Lord and begin to weep. And there's going to be a brokenness that's going to take place in the meetings. The brokenness is first going to start with the leaders, area leaders. There's an area bishop that is coming to challenge you. God says the moment that he's going to open his eyes, to put his eyes on you, to begin to judge you, God's going to shut his mouth. Because he's bitter, because it should have been him. Studied you, looked you up on Wikipedia, knows everything about you. And God says, I'm going to shut his mouth, because I'm going to open his eyes of his understanding so that he can better shepherd my shepherds. You're about to bring order in all kinds of religious mindsets to the knees. You're about to bring order as God ordained it to be under a new covenant. Right now, stand between the wings of the angels at the mercy seat now. That when they come unto you, watch this, man of God, they're going to touch just the edge, and people are going to be healed of AIDS. AIDS. You're going to get more confirmation of AIDS than you will of cigarettes and smoking, of AIDS. Cancer is going to be delivered right on the very spot. God is doing a great work. Stay under that covering. And we send you, man of God, with prayers and supplication, with fasting and prayer for you, that God's perfect will be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for the messenger that is going forth right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for the filling of the Holy Ghost, Father. I thank you for the new wine, Father God. I thank you for new revelation, Father. I thank you that he doesn't draw on the old, but he draws on the new. When he begins to laugh, Father, he's going to laugh uncontrollably there, Lord. And I thank you that it's not a spirit of laughter. It's going to be the joy, the true joy, Father. That they will see and hear colors, Father. There's a glory cloud that's going to follow you. And this glory cloud, oh my God, is going to have an essence of sand and red clay that came from the motherland. And people are going to begin to get it on their clothing and on their shoes. And they're not going to know where it comes from. But you're going to realize the Holy Ghost is going to speak to you and say, they just came. The angels have just entered the scene. And there's going to be a remnant of the sand from the Holy Land. Just transcending anointing, where you'll be in two places at one time. You'll be in two different regions, one by spirit and one in the natural, but there'll be a manifestation of where your spirit went.
There'll be two individuals that are going to walk up to you, and there's going to be someone standing next to you. I don't see this man's going to be standing right next to you. He's been following you, been going with you. And this individual, two individuals are going to come up to you and not want to speak directly to you, but speak directly to this individual, whoever's standing to your right. Because they don't want to look you in the eye, because they're going to renounce witchcraft. They're going to renounce this black magic that they're doing. And it's going to release in this very area, this meeting that you're going to be in, it's going to release the curse over this meeting. Whoever this man is that's going with you, better be ready. There's going to be head gang members. They're going to submit and be on their knees crying. And they're going to tell you, when you come into this place, we got you. It's going to begin to turn the gang members around. And not only turn them around, they're going to turn their territories around. Hey, my God. You bind the strong man, you get the goods. You bind the strong man, you get the goods. You bind the strong man, you get the goods. God says, I've already got those that think that they're strong in the territories, that they claim to these particular blocks of the city. But now I want to have them come unto me and repent. But they won't want to look you in the eyes. They'll go to somebody else because they know authority. They are going to repent. And gangs are about to turn around. Whew. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you right now. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you right now, Father God, that everything that has come against him, I thank you for it. I do. I thank you for all his losses. I thank you for everything that has been taken away from him, everything that's been stripped. I thank you for it. It's because he can always remember that, God, you're the one that is keeping him, sustaining him, and maintaining him. Father, I thank you right now that even when he returns, even those naysayers and the ones that have been jealous are going to continue being jealous. They're going to want to talk about him and say, why you? Why you? Why you? Uh-huh. Why you? The question will be, why not? It's your season. Don't miss the opening of the portal that I have given you. Not only are you going to see Emma, I hear by the Spirit of God, someone's going to say, I see an apparition where they don't understand it's going to be an angel, that of a Catherine Coleman, that is going to go right across the stage, right where you're standing. You're not going to see her, they're going to see her. All kinds of crazy type of miracles are going to take place. Crazy miracles. Stupid miracles. Not in this particular meeting, but in a meeting to come in 2 months. In 2 months, there's a meeting that's going to come. The royalty is going to send for you. Royalty. Hear me this. This is real royalty is going to send for you. And royalty is not only going to send for you, they're going to open up the palace for you. They don't want to put you up in any other accommodations. They're going to open up the palace for you. Hear me and hear me good. It prompted the heart of the king to ask for change in the region where there couldn't be any rest, there couldn't be any peace, but peace is about to come in. You will see machine guns that are about to be put on the altar. You're going to see all kinds of things that have been corrupt in this. It's on an island. It's on an island. It's on an island. They're going to come it's like military jackets, but they're not military. They're guerrillas. Guerrillas. Machine guns are going to be put down at the altar. And corruption is going to begin the process to be turned around. Stay focused, man of God. Stay focused. Stay focused.
Because what is coming for you is greater than what you can imagine. The dates, you not have a calendar big enough to write. But the divine appointments, you will see. You will see manifest. And your calendar will begin to look right and in order. Everything that has been coming your way has been too much. And God's going to hone it in, narrow it down, and you'll know which one to go to. Right now I see the calendar full, and God says, you're confused. He says, but I'm going to narrow it down. You're going to see through your spiritual eye which one to do, which one not to do. Because what I'm about to send you will be divine, and you'll see greater miracles than you've ever seen, ever been recorded. Then you're going to cross paths with a crazy white man that preaches with fire. This crazy white man is going to begin to tell you, I've seen you in my dream. That'll happen in the year 2015. 2015, at the end of the first quarter, you will cross paths with this crazy white man. And I mean crazy for the Lord. Crazy, crazy. Your paths are going to cross. Kids are going to be there when that happens. Your kids are going to be there, and they're going to laugh and laugh and laugh.